We're in lesson 64 in the dispensation view of the book of Matthew. And we're just starting Matthew chapter 21. And by the way, you can go on the website and you can pull up all these messages from behind. But this is the 64th lesson. So we've been in this book for a little while and learning some great things, aren't we? You know, one thing about the book of Matthew that we know, is it to you? It's for you. And it's about a kingdom. Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as king. And he's there to proclaim a kingdom. And he had a message, as we understood the first from chapter 3, where he was baptized of John and identified himself with John's ministry. And John had a message of repent and be baptized for the mission of for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John the Baptist gets his head cut off, and Lord Jesus Christ continues that message for repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we know that he taught that from Rome, Matthew chapter 4 all the way up to Matthew chapter 16. That message didn't change. And then he started commissioning or teaching the 12 that same message. And we also know that he told us in Matthew chapter 12, or told the Jews, or we can understand that book is for us but not to us. He also told them not to go in the way of the Gentiles, because the Gentiles was down here in the timeline. They was alienated. They had no hope. They had no commonwealth of Israel and without God. But God, the Creator. Now, are there many gods out there?
Oh, yes.
They are, aren't they? Many, many gods. But the God, the Creator. When people says, do you believe in God? I said, yes, which one? And they look at, well, there's only one. I said, are they? You know, there was 10 gods in Egypt that God dealt with. But God the Creator is his name, the Most High God. And he dealt with the nation Israel here. And we know that. And we're at the time point in Matthew chapter 20. As we know, he's no longer, Matthew 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, I should say. He's no longer going to a throne, but he's going to a cross. Before he can have his glory, he has to have the sufferings. In Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethage, upon the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter Zion, behold, our king cometh unto the meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereupon, their own. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, a city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazarene of Galilee. Notice they didn't say he's the king of Israel. But anyway, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it of a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came unto him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he done, did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read? out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, they shall have perfect praise. And he left them and went out of the city and to Bethany? And he lodged there. And now in the morning, he has returned into the city. He hungered. This chapter begins with the death. It's 1 week from this point that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to die. And this is called, you ever heard of Palm Sunday? This is where this starts at, Palm Sunday. And the Lord instructs the disciples to go and back and bring a foal of an ass. Look at, with me, hold your finger there and go to Job chapter 11 and Exodus chapter 13. Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. There's something about Exodus 13. Exodus 13. I sent this question out a couple weeks ago, but Job chapter 11, verse 12 says, For vain man will be wise, though a man be born like a wild ass colt. God uses this colt of an ass for a reason. Look at Exodus chapter 13. Keep your hand in Matthew chapter 21, because that's where we're going. Matthew chapter 21, Exodus 13, verse 13. Now we know about creation, we know that it needs to be redeemed as far as we do too. But here's something that's very, very interesting. Now what did the Lord sent the guy go out down to Jerusalem and find what? A foal and a colt. So there's two of them. There's a mother and the baby. And there's a reason for that. But look at this. Verse 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. Here is a donkey, if you will, is going to be redeemed by what? A lamb. Let's strike you for, think about that. We know we looking for the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, which did, right? But here is something that we also know when Abraham took Isaac up in the mountains, and he said, Isaac asked him, where's the lamb, didn't he? And Abraham replied, said, God will provide himself a lamb. And what was in the thicket? It wasn't a lamb, it was a ram. So here's something it says, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of men among the children shall be redeemed. So this colt, this donkey, is going to be redeemed by the lamb. Go back to Matthew chapter 21. We just read all the way down, those passages, but he calls for an act. A colt of an ass to ride on his entrance into Jerusalem. And he don't ride on the mother donkey, he rides on the baby donkey, the ones that's going to be redeemed. And who is Jesus Christ? The Lamb. And he rides him, and the ass was tied by the law. You think about that. That donkey, I'll use the word donkey, he's being tied, and he's really a picture of what that law was. Tied up, bound, all the time. He wasn't free to go. You ever worked with them? Donkeys or mules? I've been around them. And many of you have too. They're not a pleasant animal to work with. You can't work with them. But here's a mother donkey and a baby donkey. If you try to took that baby donkey, that's what the Lord's going to ride on, away from that mother, what would have happened? That donkey would have kicked and crawled, he probably killed you. You don't separate them. And that lesson there about the donkey being tied to the law, that was bondage, and he's going to release that donkey too, as far as that spiritual connection with Israel. The Lord is fulfilling prophecy by the prophets saying, Behold thou King. Remember the beholds, the four beholds? This is one, behold thy king. And to a non-believer, this is not what they thought. That, you know, that their king would come so lowly. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. When I mention non-believers, that's not talking about the little flock, okay? That's talking about the people in Israel that's supposed to understood that. Matthew 11:28. Come ye unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what people would expect him to. Isn't that what he said he's going to be doing? And what the non-believing Jew was looking for a king, wasn't he? Coming in and riding, you know, like a king would. You know what was it? Pomp and circumstance. They here they are. Here comes the king riding on a big white stallion, that type of thing, and on a charger, like what he's going to do over here. You know, he comes back on a white horse over here with fire and vengeance and ready to. He's a Lord of war over here. But right here, what does he say? He's low and meek. He's going to be slaughtered, if you don't mind me saying that. And look at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah. Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, rejoice greatly. Now, Zechariah is a book of prophecy, correct? Was that before the Lord or after the Lord?
Before the Lord.
Okay, before. And what we understand prophecy is focused on the earth, isn't it? And something spoken since the world began. And 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt of a foal of an ass. Does that sound like what we just read? There should be no mistake. I know there's no mistake in our eyes who Jesus Christ was, but to the all nation Israel, they was blinded. You know, that's sad. It really is, because all through prophecy, they was expecting this day. This is not the triumph entry into Jerusalem like we always say it is. You know, Palm Sunday, here he comes, triumphant. He's going to win the battle of what? No, when he comes over here, it's going to be triumphant, and it's not going to be a great day for some. And on the Lord's entry in Jerusalem, he's humiliated, isn't it? It's humiliation. Look at him riding on that little donkey. You know, who? He ain't no king. He's just nobody. What did it say that we read? He's the prophet, right? And the believers, well, look at this. The Lord is not offering Israel the kingdom anymore. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. He's not offering the kingdom to Israel anymore. Because of why? They believed every word he said? Because of the unbelief. He's not dealing with that nation no more. He's dealing with a little flock. And he's coming to die. Luke 19 verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should what? Immediately appear. That's what they thought. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, where's he going to go to get his kingdom? It's not in Jerusalem. It's when he's going back to the Father. And when he goes up there and gets his kingdom, he's coming back over here. But until then, he tells those what? Disciples, occupied till I come. Now that ain't got nothing to do with, that does not have anything to do with us. So you can't, you can spiritualize yourself in this. And that's what many of us has done. But it's an era. Look what he says. The believers thought that the kingdom was going to be ushered in immediately. Wouldn't you? I mean, you think about it. He's been teaching. Well, he's been. If you was there, he was teaching you, I'm the king. That's what Matthew's all about. And all of a sudden, he changes that in Matthew 19 and 20 and says, I'm not going to the throne. I'm going to Jerusalem, and I must die. I must suffer many things at the hands of the Gentiles, and in 3 days I'm going to die and rise again. That's what the message was. It changed on. And the Lord gives a parable to let them know that he has not come in this at this time. Now, this might be opposite of what many of us has taught. Go back to Matthew. Well, get John chapter 12 and Exodus chapter 12. The Lord is the entry is presenting himself as the Passover lamb. Now this would have been a good Easter message to talk about a couple weeks ago, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But hey, when we go through Matthew, we're going through it dispensationally, and you can understand the next time you have Easter, you can understand what it's all about. But look, the Lord on his entry is going in as a Passover lamb that will redeem Israel. That's what he's come to do. You know, we talk about Christmas time when he was born. That's what we put aside that he's born. Many of us know, you know, differently, but he was born to die. You know, that's sad that you know that he was born to die. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had rose from the dead. So he's 6 days before the Passover. Okay? That's what John says. You believe it? I believe every word of this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover came, compare this with Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 3. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, thou shalt take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep and from what? The goats. You took that lamb out on the 10th day of what? The month. The 10th day of the month. So 10th day, 6 days later is Passover. And if you watch him, you have to watch him for 3 days to see if there's no blemishes. And to make sure that there ain't a blemish. And he's, so Lord Jesus Christ is presenting himself as the Passover lamb. We know, many of them know that. He's presenting as the Redeemer. And Luke 20:20 says, about the Lord Jesus Christ, look what they say. Luke 20:20. And they watched him and sent for spies, which should vain themselves just men. And they might that they might take hold of his words, that they might deliver unto him the power and authority of the governor. What are they doing in 3 days? They're watching him, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're watching him, see if he's without blemish. Say, ha ha, you ain't no, you know, who you say you are. And they teach, and you know, this is the opposite of what religion teaches here. They teach at the time when Jesus goes to present himself as Israel the king and opposing himself as the Passover lamb. We just got through reading the fact that he's not the king. He's not going in as the king. He's going in to die. That's hard to swallow sometimes, isn't it? Because isn't Lord, we know him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, isn't he? And isn't he, we were talking about this morning, Lord. You know how you can call him Lord? He bought you. If you trust Christ died for your sins, bear and rose again. Hey, that blood paid for you. We're no longer ourselves. I know that's hard for some of us. It's hard for me sometimes because I like myself. I like me for me. But you know, the thing is, when you think about who you are in Christ, you're not yourself anymore. I mean, your identity changes, and that's hard. That's hard. And when that's why when they think about the kingdom, they think of it as a spiritual kingdom. Oh, it's just a spiritual, it's not a literal kingdom. Now, does your Bible talk about a literal, physical, biblical kingdom? It started with this man right here. It's going to be fulfilled over here. It's going to be a literal kingdom. It's not no spiritual. You know, we always say when you spiritual eyes, you'll tell spiritual lies. Because you have to force those things and you lie to yourself there. We talk about playing Russian roulette with the Bible. You know, people spin that Bible and stop that page and whatever verse it is, that's to me.
Yeah, Russian did that.
Take your daughters and sons and daughters out and stone them to death. Now, how many of y'all done that? How many would like to? No, just joking. But anyway, no, I'm just joking now. But look, it's a literal kingdom. In fact, during this time, the Lord makes his entry that he's the sacrificial lamb. The nation Israel is out in there looking for the lamb. See, that's what Exodus says. You go out, and the tenth day, you get your lamb. The Lamb of God comes into Jerusalem that day, and they're out there looking for him. And they don't see and know that the Lord is the Lamb of God. This is because they're what? Blind through unbelief. They didn't believe it. Their spiritual leaders didn't teach it. They thought, I'm holier than thou, didn't they? Matthew 21. We're going through this book quite rapidly. Matthew 21, verse 19 and 22. And when they saw a fig tree, and when he saw a fig tree in thy way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presented the fig tree, presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon the fig tree withered away. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt me, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto these mountains, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall what? Be done. Christ is looking for fruit of that fig tree. He's looking for fruit of the nation Israel. And I can say in contrast, he's looking for fruit for the body of Christ today. You know, he don't want a bunch of withered body of Christ. Remember, he wants fruit. Fruit is good. If you know me by now, I love fruit. I really do. I love apples and oranges and pears, you name it. I love it. Pineapples. But the thing is, in Matthew 23, verse 37, it says, I'll read it to you. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I given gathered the, how how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as hens gather her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. He was there for them, wasn't he? And he was looking for that fruit. I think when John the Baptist was saying, hey, the axe was at the fruit, at the tree of nation Israel. He was ready to cut that tree down. We know we use a parable about this 1 year extension here, that God gave them 1 year before they cut the nation Israel down. But he comes to the hungry, he comes hungry for fruit in Israel, but he didn't find any. You know, that could be sad, because wasn't Israel his firstborn? He loved Israel. That's why he told Pharaoh, let my firstborn go. You talking about being born again? You know, people says you got to be born again. I always ask, well, when was you born the first time? And they're like, huh? What? What are you talking about? It's not talking about coming out of your mother's womb. It's talking about spiritually. And that's when Israel was born first. Let my firstborn go. They had to be born again over here, a spiritual and physically. You're not born again. You're something brand spanking new in the dispensation of grace of God. And this is a type of Israel. Remember the four, you know, the four tree. Go to Judges. Go with me to Judges. Judges. They look like you could have found some fruit. Some of them did. He did find some fruit. But the fig tree in the Bible represents the religious life of Israel. What did I say? Judges 9? Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. Look at verse 8. Go to Judges 8. Well, Judges 9, verse 8. And the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, because if you know the first 8 verses, he's talking about, they're asking for a king to reign over them. This is Judges, by the way. This is before kings. And they had 13 judges in the nation of Israel before they had the first king. He says, and the trees went forth for a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. Now the trees here are representative of the people. Okay? And they went to the olive tree, and they said, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me thou honor God and man, and go to promote over trees? Now here's a big olive tree, you know. Olive tree represents the Holy Spirit. Then he says, and the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. And the fig tree said unto them, shall I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go promote over the trees? Fig tree is the religious system of Israel. Remember what Adam covered himself with?
Fig leaf.
Yeah.
He covered himself with religion.
You said that was religious, what?
It's religious, Israel. He covered himself with, many of us cover ourselves with, I'm guilty as anybody else. I've covered myself with religion for the escape and to hide stuff. But then he says, look, the fig tree. And he said in verse 12, and he said to the vine tree, this is the true Israel, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said to him, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to promote over the trees? Then he says in verse 14, and then said all the trees unto the bramble. You know what a bramble is?
Yeah, it's the bramble bush.
Oh, yeah, bramble. Thorns, you know, just gob a mess.
No fruit.
You know what this represents? The apostate Israel. And guess what this guy says? Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth yet anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadows, and if not, let the fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. There's four trees right there, and the nation Israel's begging for guidance. Somebody rang over them, and those three that meant something would not reign over them, but who reigned over them?
Bramble bush.
So when you get back over Matthew chapter 21 where we're at, who is in control of the nation Israel over here? It's not the true Israel, God-fearing. It's the apostate type of Israel leadership that didn't care about God Almighty. You know, I'm holier than thou. I'm going to give it to you. Now, I don't know if y'all think about this or not, but there's many religions out there still today like that. They put you under that bramble bush. So when he came here to Matthew and he touched the fig tree, that religious system that God set up and said, hey, I want the sweetness. Where's the fruit? There was none. So he dried it up. And that's self-righteous works. That's what that is. When you talk about, you know, the religious system, it's self, look at me. Look what I'm going to do. And that's Jeremiah 24. And Christ is cursing the fig tree and an illustration of what he's going to do in the life of Israel. Not saved Israel. Now, bear with me for a second. In times past, in Genesis through Malachi, was their people in the nation Israel saved? They followed God, they believed God. But there also was people in the nation Israel that wasn't saved, but they went on their own righteousness, right? Okay. Now, we know back in times past, the Gentiles, they wasn't saved. I was one of them if I was back over here. Because I was my own God. I didn't know God the Creator. I didn't know He was, I was aliens from Commonwealth of Israel, stranger from the covenants of hope, having no hope in Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. And without God in the world, that's how God saw me. Now, you might not know me then. Praise God, hallelujah. But I was. But look, that's back here. But there was this time chart that we use, timeline, if you will, this represents the nation Israel, the true vine. And if you can imagine anywhere above it or below it, there was another vine growing here that God didn't plant that was apostated, and Israel would jump over there and want to be a part of that because look who I am. You with me on that? And then when the Lord Jesus Christ came, when John the Baptist came, did John the Baptist go into the city of Jerusalem and belly up with all the religious leaders and said, hey man, we're going to do this? You know he didn't. He was outside the nation Israel calling out the ones that wanted to hear the truth. That's what's very, very important for us today. You need to, when you speak truth. You want people to hear truth. They're people wanting truth, aren't they? Yeah. Truth is what sets us free. And that people did not recognize John the Baptist. So what did they do to him? They cut his head off, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. What did they say? And we'll find out in Matthew. We have no king but who? We don't want anybody else to reign over us. Does that sound like a bramble bush?
Yep.
Reign. Even the religious leaders of Israel was apostated. They didn't see this. We just saw that. We read that. And then the stoning of Stephen represents the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? They killed him. So when we look at the parable of the fig tree, I know I'm going a little fast, but that has to do over here. But there's a reason I said all that to bring up speed, that the leaders of Israel should have recognized this and led the people. But they didn't. So God says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it is my Father's good pleasure to give to you, talking to that little flock, the kingdom of heaven. He takes that authority away from the nation Israel, all those Pharisees and Sadducees and leaders and stuff and kings of Israel. He takes it away from them and gives them to a people that was no people. A foolish nation, Moses calls them. And that's over here. And when they go through here, they're going to rule and reign. We done went through that. But the body of Christ is not there. Well, I'll get to that in a second. But Christ curses the fig tree is an illustration that what he's doing, this is the life of Israel. He's looking at the fig tree and there's no sweetness. And he's saying there's no life. There's no fruit. There's no fruit there. And you know what he does when he touches it? You know what basically what he's saying? I'm done with it.
Yeah, he said it'll never be no fruit.
I'm done with that religious system. I'm done with that nation. I'm done. And many of us can't understand that in that religious world out there. Well, they want you to be a part of that system. They want you to be a part of that blind nation, don't they? And treat you like you're part of it. And that's wrong.
Israel now in the land is the fig tree. Today.
Well, it's apostate. But it's not the picture of what he's going to do over there. That's an era.
They're in darkness. So from the shadow of the tree.
But the reason Israel failed to recognize her Messiah is they didn't walk by. Look at Romans chapter 9. We're getting ready to close. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11. You do not get your gospel for today out of Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11. I know where it's at. It's in Paul's epistles. And Paul's our apostle. And he gives our marching orders. But Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 has nothing to do with the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace. He's talking to that nation of Israel that is saved, the believing remnant that believe God. And they got set, when Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, in Acts chapter 9, something new started. And this program, the Israel, the kingdom program that he gave to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he died and buried and rose again. He came back to the book of Acts. And from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9, that's 1 year. That's all it is. I know when you read it, it seems like, oh man, it's 24 years later. I'm still reading it. No, it's 1 year. God gives that parable of the fig tree in Luke. He talks about, hey, the Lord wanted to cut down. And the vineyard goes, hey, hold on, sir. Lord, give me 1 year. Let's pull it up, let's dung it, and if it don't come back and produce fruit, cut it down. Deuteronomy talks about if the fruit tree don't give fruit, you save the fruit tree, but if it don't produce fruit, you cut it down and use it for bulwarks. It's war. John the Baptist, I just said this a while ago, he said the axe is at the root of the tree. He's looking at Israel that's supposed to be producing that fruit. John the Baptist knew they wasn't producing the fruit. And he's getting ready to cut it down. The Lord's going to cut it down in Acts chapter 1. He said, oh, give me 1 year. And that's exactly what he did. He gave the nation of Israel 1 year to produce fruit, and they failed.
Yeah, his ministry.
He failed right here. He failed right here, and Stephen right here. Then the fact that's 1 year. Then you got from Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 28, it shows a diminishing of the nation of Israel. The whole book of Acts is about the nation of Israel. You can't find us in there as far as what he talks about in Romans 9, 10, 11. He's showing you the fall of Israel. It starts out in Israel's chapter 1, verse 6. It says, what? Will you again restore the kingdom unto who? Israel. That's all they knew. Then you get to Acts chapter 9, where you're at right here. He comes out of Acts chapter 8, telling you some wonderful things for the body of Christ. But Acts chapter 9, verse 30. What shall I say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness had obtained righteousness and the righteousness of faith, but Israel. Romans 9, chapter 31. But Israel. Look at 30 again. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of what? Of faith. Now how are the Gentiles getting righteousness? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. They had it, didn't they? And they didn't obtain to it. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren. He calls them brethren. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Not that they're going to be, that they might be. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what?
Knowledge.
Where does wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come from? And he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They ignored it. Israel ignored it. Now, you want to be a part of that? Go to 11 chapter 25. Look at 11:7 while we're on this thought of train of thought here. What then? Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then? Israel have not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election have attained it, and the rest was what? When he chose that little flock, they became the elect. Then he says, according as is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, the eyes they shall not see, and the ears shall not hear until this day. He gave it to them, didn't he?
Yeah, when he did that, when he had that tree cut down, didn't he?
And then David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back way. This is the nation Israel.
Yep.
And you want to be a part of that, don't you? You should say, no, preacher, I'm a part of the body of Christ, but people out there makes you want a part of Israel. And Israel, look at this. I say then in Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall is salvation coming to the Gentiles to provoke them to what? Jealousy. So they stumbled at the cross. That's where they stumbled, but did they fall? But do they fall? Look, but rather through their fall.
Right.
They do fall.
Right.
And they fall at the stoning of Stephen. And it says, now I say the fall of them. That's Israel. That's unbelief. And then he says, verse 13, for I speak unto you Gentiles as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Then here's where I want to go with this. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should believe in that you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is in part as happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
Amen.
Israel's blinded today. And a lot of us can't, well, a lot of us do understand that. But there's a system out there, a religious system, that wants to make you a part of that, because why? They've always been taught that Israel was God's chosen people, and that's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing that God chose Israel as an instrument in the earth to be the authority over here. But to us that are saved today through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, we're not looking for a kingdom on earth. We're preserved in the heavenlies. And when you look at what God is doing with the universe, the focus is on the body of Christ. It's not the earth, it's the heavens. And we got a purpose. There's powers and principalities and mights up there. And God takes the body of Christ and he puts those in positions and rank and authority. And that's something to work for. That's why you want to work with this gospel. Now, you could be saved today and trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may not understand right the division. That don't save you. But it does bring your knowledge up to what God... Don't you want to know what God's doing? I mean, honestly, don't you want to know in your heart what he's doing? I do. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us freely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.